The Holy Gospel according to Luke, reading from the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of our Lord. I invite you to be seated. So Trudy and I were away for 2 weeks, and we went to Cuba for the first week. So just a few facts about Cuba. There's 12 million people live there. How many visitors did they get every year? Any idea? 5 million. And out of that 5 million, what percentage are Canadians? I know plenty, because whenever we got back, I saw all sorts of things on Facebook about, oh, we're in Veradero. Because all these people I knew happened to be there probably at the same time we were there. So 25% of all the visitors to Cuba are Canadian. They love their Canadians down there. They look after you. So the second week, we decided, well, we're here in southern Ontario, and it wasn't spring-like like this. It was kind of, eh. So what do you do in London, in southern Ontario, in March for your vacation? Well, there's lots of restaurants that we hadn't tried yet. So we tried a whole bunch, and there was one, Katana. Anybody heard of that one? Right out by the airport, literally on the edge of the airport. And that was the night the big double rainbow. Do you remember that? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So we actually saw the beginning, well, the earth to the earth. It was the complete 180. I've actually seen a 360 rainbow. You know that rainbows are actually 360? But the lucky thing was, I just happened to be at the center of it, right? Yeah, that's a joke. That was a physics joke. You're always at the center of a rainbow. It's there just for you. But that night I had creme brulee. Are we getting creme brulee this afternoon, or is it just cake? Just cake? Okay. But the creme brulee came with this little fruit on top. Phacelia peruviana. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It also is more commonly, well, it comes from Peru, peruviana, you guessed that much. But it also, it looks like, its common name is a Cape gooseberry, right? Kind of looks like a little cherry tomato, but it's yellow. And it has the little leaves that are over it, and they fluff it up and they serve it out. And here's what somebody described the taste. It tastes something like a tomato with a sourness at the end, like a cranberry. So it's not quite sweet, but it's not really bitter either. I don't like gooseberries themselves, but so it has that slight bitterness to it. It's lovely to eat one and then have your creme brulee, but you wouldn't eat a bowl of these Cape gooseberries. You wouldn't eat a bowl of them. Today's text, though, is all about figs. Do you like figs? I'm seeing serious head nodding here, right? And you might eat a bowl of figs, you know, maybe 10 figs or something like that. Yeah, they're lovely. My relationship to figs is quite different. My mom used to make a special treat at Christmas time, and it was a fig cut, sliced with the stone taken out, and then stuffed with marzipan, and then rolled in sugar. Wow, it was good. My sister has now taken up the tradition, so she now makes a few of them. But our tastes have changed, so she only makes about 20 for the whole family, because, yeah, you wouldn't need a bowl of those either. They're just way too sweet. Figs are a very important fruit in the Middle East, hence Jesus talking about them in his parable. So you know what parables are, right? They're short, little, simple stories to teach a truth, or maybe to ask a question for you to try and answer. And while the parables aren't historically true, they didn't actually happen, they're true to life. They have a truth to teach us. And it's not a fairy tale. It's not just something made up. It actually connects with our life somehow. And it's there to teach us something. They're also told to help us engage your imagination. I think next week we've got the parable of the two brothers. You know the one? The one that takes off with all his father's loot and the other one that's not too happy about it. Right? So I think that's next week. There are some parables in the Old Testament, just in case you were wondering, as Jesus isn't the only one who told them. So the most famous one I would say is 2 Samuel when Nathan comes to King David and tells him there was this man in a town and there was a rich farmer and a poor farmer, and the poor farmer only had one little ewe. You know the one? And that's there to teach David a lesson. Do you remember how it ends? David, you are that man. But Jesus is definitely the master of parables. Something like a third of his teachings are voiced in parables. Do you know how many parables there are in the Gospels? 32? The list I have is 37, and you know, whenever you look around, you'll get different numbers, because it kind of depends. Is this a parable? Is that a parable? But I'm going to go with 37. And John Martin's from the American magazine, The Jesuit Review, he put out a request on his blog, saying, what's your favorite parable? And I thought about doing that this morning, but he was underwhelmed. So I didn't want to sort of, you know, put that out here like that this morning. He was underwhelmed by the response, so he came up with his top 12. And it was lovely to read down them and his explanations of why he picked them. And I so connected with them all. It was lovely. But the other thing that happened to me as I'm reading down these parables and going, yeah, I know that one, I know this one, I know that is, and why he would pick them, I get to do that kind of stuff all the time. So thank you for employing me as your pastor, that I get time to dwell in depth in the scriptures and take time to be part of it. So thank you for that privilege that you have given me. So I bring it here to share with you. So my favorite was his favorite, number one. Now I'm going to ask you to guess. What do you think? And you've probably heard me talk about it more than once. What do you think my favorite parable is? My favorite parable is the unmerciful slave. As I start to explain it, you'll probably go, yeah, I've heard Steve talk about those before. And it's not because the unmerciful slave receives his comeuppance, because he does. He gets chucked in jail for not being merciful. But it's more about the extravagant, the incredible extravagant, crazy level of mercy that God shows to us. So he owed him 10,000 talents. How much is that today? Now, we're talking astronomical numbers here. We're talking national debt numbers here. $10,000 million. That's how much the slave owed the master, right, in today's money. Would the master even have that much money to lend somebody? How would one of your employees build up such a debt that much that you let it happen? You would think after the first million, you might stop. Right? Where's the treasure? Do you think they'd lend me $1 million for next week? No? Yeah. Funny, right? I know you've got it, right? So would you lend it to me? The second million, I think you wouldn't, right? So it's this extravagance of forgiveness. I think it's a funny parable. You're like, how much money did he owe? Well, he owed them a lot. Now, come on, Jesus, tell me, how much money did he owe? Well, like a billion, zillion, trillion. Yeah, it was one of those kind of numbers. But today's story is about a fig tree. Is there any fruit on it? Nope. There's no fruit on the fig tree. And there wasn't any last year or the previous 2 years. So the man who had the fig tree planted in the vineyard came looking for the fruit, and he'd found none. And he shouts out, 3 years it's been barren. Cut her down. But the gardener says, no, well, one more year. One more year. I'll dig around it. I'll loosen up the soil, and I'll put some manure on it. So in the parables, we try and find ourselves sometimes. Who am I in the story? What lesson is Jesus trying to teach me? Or what questions is he trying to ask me? So who do you identify with in this barren fig tree parable? The vineyard owner who shouts, cut her down? Or the gardener who says, give him a chance? I like congregational participation, so I would like you to shout out one of those two responses for which one you think you identify with, okay? And it's an either or, it's that one or that one. So if you don't say it's that one, you've got to pick the other one. So which one is it? And then on the count of three, I want you to shout out, cut her down, or give him a chance. You ready? Which one do you identify with? One, two, three. Ooh, I like that. They said give him a chance. I like that. Wonderful. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about you being the tree. Remember the big tree at the beginning? A fruitless tree, no less. And I did have a spare line in here that says, does that change your first answer? Because I was I was hedging my bets. If you said cut her down, then I was going to say, does that change your first answer if you are now the barren tree? Right? It might. But here's what I see. First in the parable, be the tree. Put yourself in the place of the fruitless tree. What fruit would you bear? The kids had their badges and their fruits. What tasty goodness could you do, or do you do, to offer the world around you? Are you sweet like a peach or sweet like a fig? Maybe even a little bittersweet like lemon in a pie. What would lemon curd be without lemon? Or maybe that little Cape gooseberry on top of my creme brulee. Quite tasty, but I wouldn't eat a whole lot of them. So first of all, I think this parable is calling us to produce fruit, to be good fruit to the world. You know it's a metaphor, okay? I don't want you running around with guitar playing pineapples, right? But if that's your thing, do it, right? So things like kind words, forgiveness, generosity, dedication to service. Good morning, Randy. Or grace. Giving grace, like telling people, giving them the benefit of the doubt, giving them the space to be their own faithful person. And these are all wonderful goals. But here's another thought. Maybe you could also be the gardener, and I think you were from the give her a chance shout. What does the gardener do? He helps bring out the fruit in others. So encourage one another. Maybe you're the stuff, or maybe you're the actual stuff that goes in the ground. The fertilizer. Might not smell too good, but man, it produces good fruit on the tree. So the stuff that goes in the ground, I would have a different name for it, not the one I almost said, but love. That's what that tree needed, was love and nutriment and encouragement. Love makes each of us grow. And maybe that's what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. When you see a tree in trouble, loosen the soil around it and be a big pile of love to that person. Or maybe you're the tree and you need some more love in yourself to help you produce good, sweet fruit. And what I do whenever I get into that stuck phase of feeling somewhat fruitless, as I go find good friends who I trust, my spiritual friends, and we shoot the fertilizer together, and say, tell me. So two things I see. Be the good fruit and help others produce the good fruit. And it's all about love. Loving is easy, right? It should be, because God first loved us. Because God loves each of us more than we can ever imagine. Like in the parable of the unforgiving servant. We can be a little bit like that. Be like Jesus and spread the love. Amen.